want to start a series today. It's going to be turning actually to a five-part series. It was a four-part series until Pastor Tracy told me she wants to add one on to the end because it just is so fitting when she comes along, and it's going to work out just great. But I want to do a series on generosity. I want to talk about generosity, and it's so interesting that I see that generosity is such an incredible principle that once you get it, you want to just keep living it. And the scripture says in Proverbs 11 and 25, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Drink that in for a minute and just think about that. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And there's another scripture, Jesus' words in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 says, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You've heard me talk a lot about being countercultural as a follower of Christ. That is, when you follow Jesus, you're different. You're different than the world in which you live. And hopefully you and I are noted for being different in a good way. Not for what we're against all the time. And I think sometimes that Christians are noted for that, what they're against. But I think it's even more important for people to know what we're for. We're for living a life that's full and complete, and it has hope and a future. And we live differently because we are different. And that's what life transformation is. Life transformation is a lifestyle that presents a compelling case for living like Jesus. Why do you live the way you do? It's because of Jesus. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, then you can tell them. Well, what's Jesus like? And when you talk about Jesus, one of the things you can always point out is how generous he was. Jesus is generous to the extreme. He always was, still is, always will be an extravagant giver. Jesus, of course, is our model that we follow for all aspects of living. And Jesus, by looking at his example, shows us how to live generously by putting God above everything else and then even putting others before ourselves. You may have heard the expression, live to give. And that describes a generous life. I believe that every follower of Jesus should have a reputation for generosity. For the reason I just mentioned, we want to be like Jesus in every respect. In fact, that's our goal, is to be conformed more to Jesus' image every single day. Till Christ is formed in us. That's what we want. But also, we want to live like Jesus to advance his work, the work of the kingdom. We have a calling for the kingdom. Every single one of us, God is called to be part of advancing the kingdom of God. And we also want to live like Jesus so that we will see God's blessing upon us increasing, so that we can in turn increase our blessing for God. As we are reading here, the more that we give of ourselves, the greater our capacity to give ourselves. And it just keeps going and going and going. What I'm talking about here today is more significant than you might think. This whole theme of generosity is something that we should not take for granted. For the evidence is in, Canadians are not overly generous. Talk to people in the know. Talk to a tax accountant. Talk to people out in the realm of the understanding of organizations and just around. People know that something that Allah, it's not said very much. Canadians are not overly generous. The recent response to the Fort McMurray crisis is an exception to the norm. It was amazing to see how soon people stepped into action and helped out and set a record in the amount of money, for example, that was given to a Canadian crisis. And yet, I have a suspicion that fairly quickly things will go back to the way they were. The Fort Mac story is no longer at the top of the news cycle. It'll drift out to the side. And things will go back to normal. There's all kinds of examples I could give to you about the stinginess of Canadians in all facets of living. And there are four particular areas that I want to explore in this series. Actually, there'll be five now. I'm going to talk about thanks. I'm going to talk about grace. I'm going to talk about time. And I'm going to talk about money. And Pastor Tracy's going to talk about worship. And I believe in all of these areas that people are becoming less generous, not more. Stingy, actually. Stingy with thanks. Just think about the sense of entitlement that is epidemic in our society. The feeling that I'm owed whatever I get. And so therefore, whatever I get, I don't even need to say thank you because it's my entitlement. And then if I don't get what I think I'm entitled to, well, then I act out. We're stingy with our thanks, even being thankful for the fact that we have things that are given to us that we actually probably don't even deserve. We're stingy with our grace. I think about the legal suits for perceived offense, how they're way up. People taking other people to court over perceived injustices, and at the same time, forgiveness for anything is way down. I should say, in, you know, the fact we've heard a lot of I'm sorry this week politically. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. That doesn't happen very often, you must admit. People holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness and anger instead of letting it go. People are stingy with grace. Interpersonal conflicts are epidemic. And then we're also stingy with our time. Talk to most organizations over the last 20 years, they have seen a steady decrease of people volunteering their time to help out. They don't know what they're going to do. A generation has come and gone that would volunteer and help keep things going, and now we're seeing less and less people who will give time. All volunteer organizations are scrambling for help. People's biggest reason is, I don't have the time. I don't have the time to help out. I'm too busy. I've got stuff going on. People are so busy. And so for those reasons, people are stingy with time. Also stingy with money. People, it's an amazing thing to me how money has become such an issue for most people today. Money is so captivating. The percentage of people giving to any charitable cause is shocking. There's actually a member of parliament right now who's putting forward a bill. It's a private member's bill, so it probably won't get passed. But it's called the Fairness and Charitable Acts, Gift Act, Bill C-239. And the purpose of it is to level the playing field for donations that are given to non-charitable organizations, non-political charitable organizations. You actually get a better tax break if you give to a political cause than you do giving to a charity, regardless, charity of any type. I'm not just talking about the church, I'm talking about any charity. And so they did a breakdown. They'd done a study based on 2014 statistics. Currently, only 21%, one out of every five Canadian taxpayers, give anything to a charity. And those who did give something to a charity in 2014, those one in five of those people, you know what the average gift giving for the whole year was? $280. The whole year. Yeah. Oh, as Canadians, we're generous. Look how we've helped out in this, and look how we've helped out in that, and how we responded over here, right? And statistics in that regard don't lie. They're right off of the tax returns. My point is this. Canadians generally are missing out on a life principle that will not only bless a lot of people, but will also incredibly bless themselves. We, in this time, in this day and age, have in reality never had more resources as individuals at any time in our history than we do today. If you ask the average person today, they would say, oh, I think we should be generous. I think we should, as a society, and I've heard these people making these big speeches and talking about all how we should do this and do that. And the bottom line is everybody would just give $5 on their text to some cause. Boy, look what that does. That adds up a lot when you talk about 35 million people. The reality is that I think people should be generous, but not, that doesn't necessarily mean me, right? I think Canadians should be generous. I think the government should get, you ever heard of that? You know, the government should do more. How many causes are like that today? The government should do more. And nobody asks me these questions anymore because I always ask questions back. And I said, so who do you think the government is? Where do you think the money comes from for the government? Yeah, it would be great to give more money away, but where do you think the money comes from for that? Oh, yeah, but I think the government should. My point is, we think that people should be really generous, except when it comes to my situation. And I honestly believe as a society that we are suffering the consequences because we're stingy. Not just with money, with everything. We're stingy. I recently read an article that asked the question, it was so great, it was like, why do we have so much stuff? Back up a couple generations and look at what people had to live on and live with. And now we need twice as much space or three times as much space to keep our stuff. Isn't that amazing? We need all these devices that we have now just to organize our lives because there's so much stuff going on in our lives. I'm still the old calendar guy. I flip the calendar and, oh, yeah, I got that and that date and that date. And I write down my appointments for the day. Do we really need everything we think we need? So this whole series is much more than about money and possessions, although these do reveal a lot about what we value. Other areas of our lives are also greatly affected by what we do with what we have. And I'm going to be talking about that during the series. And that's why I believe that we as Christ followers should be countercultural. We shouldn't be like everybody else. We should be countercultural in the area of generosity. We should be trendsetters, being thankful, extending grace, giving our time, and giving our money to benefit others. Why? Because we want to be like Jesus. That's what he would do. And when we do that, other people benefit big time. But the principle of God's word is that we continually benefit ourselves. We keep receiving from God. We enjoy the blessed life as the blessings grow. So does our generosity grow? A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And when we use the word prosper, we often think in terms only of material things. He's prosperous means he's got lots of stuff. He owns a lot of things. You know, he's doing very well. They're doing very well. Look what she has. She's very prosperous. But the word in the Bible that's translated prosper is a term that means way more than that. It describes a quality of life, having an abundance of the things that really matter. If I were to ask any of you this morning, what really matters today? What really matters in your life? I bet you most of you wouldn't, number one answer wouldn't be more money. It would be what? More peace, more joy, health, favor, security. Those would be the things I would be hearing from you. Those are the things that are really important. And that's what prosperity means. It means to enjoy this full, blessed life of God. See, having material possessions guarantees none of those things. In fact, it could be argued that the more material things that you have, the less likely you're going to be peaceful, joyful, content, fulfilled, because you're always wanting more. And I really believe that there's a cycle of generosity that's ongoing. The generous person refreshes and blesses other people, and in return, that person receives refreshing and blessing. And the greater the blessing that's being given, the greater blessing that's coming back, the greater capacity then to bless more. And it keeps going. And the more that I bless, the more that I'm blessed. And then I can increase my ability to bless more. The opposite is also true. The more that we keep for ourselves, the less that we're refreshed. So if I choose not to be generous with extending grace or blessing others in certain ways or offering help and giving my time, and I'm just concentrating on myself, then I'm not going to be blessed. And I'll have less thanks to give, and I'll have less grace to extend. I'll have less time to make effective. I'll have less resources to use. And the Bible talks a lot about this principle of sowing and reaping, that how we sow determines what we reap. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 are fantastic chapters. If you ever want to read about how to be generous with a little, you think you have a little bit, how you can be generous in a way that is honoring to God, expands the work of the kingdom, and becomes a model for others to follow. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. But right in there are two verses in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. How we sow determines what we reap. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. So there's an attitude that's attached to all of this. We don't give because it's a duty or because we are compelled to somewhere. Because if we fail to do it, there's going to be some penalty for it. But no, this is a spirit, an attitude of generosity. And the way that we sow is what is the way that we will reap. And this scripture in particular is talking about giving money to advance God's work. But the principle can easily be applied to anything we have to give. For if we're stingy, we'll have very little return. For only what we give is sown into the potential harvest that we could receive. So if we sow generously, we can expect to reap generously. Why? So that we can increase what we sow. So it's not so that we all of a sudden sow, we reap, okay, it's over now. That's great. We have gotten a reward. No, it's so that we take that and we sow it back again. And the more we sow, the more we reap. Of course, this is a heart decision. And we willingly give, we cheerfully give whatever it is that we're giving when our hearts are transformed by Christ. We are powerfully motivated by love. Weren't you encouraged a couple of weeks ago when Jeremy Fellowers here from Ethiopia? Wow, that was so amazing. Just to be encouraged by just expressing love in practical ways, how much impact that's having on people to receive the gospel of Christ. It's phenomenal. It's tremendous. And it's growing. It's growing in the effect. And when you are smitten by love to that degree, when Christ overwhelms you to that measure, you can't help but give. Like Jesus gives. Self-sacrificing generosity becomes our goal. And notice that God loves a cheerful giver. You ever given and you kind of were annoyed that you had to give? You know, okay, that person, I really should forgive that person who's asked forgiveness. I really should, offer my, but I really am enjoying kind of being mad right now. I'm really holding on to this. I'm really holding on to that, and I'm justified in it, so I'm going to hold on to that. But, you know, the pastor, if he ever found out, boy, I'd be in big trouble. So, okay, I'm going to forgive. It sounds to me like my kids used to be, you know, when they were real small, and I think my grandkids are somehow turning out this way as well. There are, times when they only forgive or they only, you know, say I'm sorry when they're told to. How many have kids like that? Do you know any kids like that? And they only say sorry when they're told to say sorry. They don't feel it. They don't feel it. So they don't. And so the problem is they're not experiencing the full blessing of God. It's only when you release and you're generous and you say, I forgive you and I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on. That's when you feel blessed. But if you say, you know, I'm sorry, and then you mumble as you're walking away, that you're not going to really enjoy much freedom or generosity, right? God loves a cheerful giver, someone who gives not because they have to, but because they want to. And you notice the demeanor of a cheerful giver, don't you? You can tell when somebody's generous. You can tell somebody's generous by their demeanor. They have that cheerfulness. They have that positive outlook. They're appealing. They're people you like to be around. They just have something about them. And they're models of maximum living, living life to the full, and the impact and influence of people around them. And what they do with what they have makes a huge impression, and it creates endless opportunities for them to talk about the reason they do it. So I'm going to be talking about, in the weeks ahead, money and time and grace, and then we're going to talk about worship as well. But today, I want to just spend the next few minutes on something that every one of us has the ability and capacity to give in large amounts. Large amounts. Every one of us in this room has something that we can give out in large amounts. We can be generous with. You know what that is? Generous with our thanks. Generous with our thanks. Thanks. Expressing gratitude. Acknowledging a benefit with our words. In other ways, telling someone we are thankful. In our case, we tell God, obviously, regularly, how we feel blessed because of Him. Just knowing Him, first of all, that we could have a relationship with Him. But all the other ways He has blessed our lives, we tell Him continually. That's really what worship is. Just expressing to God how we feel about Him. We need to be generous with our thanks to God. Every time you think about it, say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. You've been so good. You can do that anywhere, anytime. But I believe we also need to be generous with being thankful to others. Letting others know how thankful we are for everything that we have received. People need to know that we are thankful. There's a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Folks, that is countercultural. Totally. Total countercultural living. People don't live that way. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is one of the scriptures I direct people to who are confused about knowing the will of God for their life. I say, okay, I've got something for you that you can put right into practice. How to know and do the will of God. There's three simple things that you can start to do that God's already revealed in His Word. Three things. And if you do these things, you're living according to the will of God. How's that? Pretty cool. One, be joyful always. Joyful always. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit that's produced in you out of healthy relationships with God and with others. When you're a joyful person, you will see that you're more inclined to be grateful, to be thankful. Joy fosters gratitude towards the source of your joy. So if you want more joy in your life, if you look at your life today and say, I'm not a very joyful person, you want more joy? Here's what you do. Surrender yourself to the Holy Spirit in every aspect of your life, every moment of every day. And you know what? He'll fill you with joy. He'll develop joy in your life. And when you have joy in your life, you'll be more joyful. And when you're a joyful person, you'll always make a good impression. The second thing is pray continually. Why pray? What do you mean pray continually? Yeah, pray all the time. Well, I thought I was supposed to be joyful. Always. Yeah, exactly. Be joyful while you pray. Pray with joy. All the time. Pray continually. Prayer keeps you connected to God and reminds you of your dependence on Him. Prayer keeps you plugged into God. Include God in every thought that you have. And then talk out loud to God when you have the opportunity to do that. You don't always, throughout your day, right, have the opportunity to outwardly talk to God. For a lot of reasons. You know, when you work and or you're in school or whatever you're doing, you can't be talking out loud to God all the time, can you? That just wouldn't work. But you can always be thinking about God. You can be talking to God whenever you have a little break. But every thought, you think about God. Prayer should always include gratitude to God for your position and your privileges in Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus today, you have a zillion reasons to be thankful to God. There's always something to give God thanks for. And when you're thankful to God, you'll also be more aware of the need for you to be thankful to people. So when people do something for you, you're more naturally inclined to say thank you. I don't know if you remember, I told you a couple of years ago when I had surgery and I was in the hospital for about a week and a half, and all the times I made it an intentional thing to thank every single person that did anything for me in the hospital, everything. And how many times, I mean at least half of the times, it stopped the people dead in what they were doing and said, oh, thank you for that. We don't hear that very often. And how hard was that? Just simply say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Why should we do that? Because we're thankful people. God has blessed us and we're overflowing with thanks. And it's also the will of God to be joyful, to pray continually, to remember that God is with us. You want to keep in step with God at all times? Pray nonstop, pray nonstop. Think about it. You should be praying right now. You should be in a prayerful attitude. This is a great spot to be praying, saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being with me. You can do that and listen to what I'm saying at the same time. How many know that that's possible? You can be conscious of God at work in your life, and you can still hear what I'm saying. How many find that multitasker? How many can do that? You can pray and listen at the same time. Yeah, exactly. And the third one, give thanks in all circumstances. I mean, we all know. Let's be real. Circumstances keep changing. Circumstances are ever changing. And they're therefore never to be the source of our joy or the reason for our thanks. Notice the scripture here says to give thanks in all circumstances. Notice that, in all circumstances, not because of circumstances or for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. You're to give thanks to God at all times, regardless of your circumstances, and you do so in Christ. Oh, certainly during the pleasant times. Thank God. Thank God. Wow, that's amazing. But during the challenging times as well, thank God. Not for the thing that you're going through, particularly. Thank God in spite of it. You want to be a thankful person? Get your focus off your circumstances and get them on Christ. Get your thoughts on Christ. I try to live this way. I'm not perfect at it, but I try to live this way. First of all, because it's God's will for my life, and I want to be obedient to God's will. That in itself is enough. I know when I obey God, God blesses. The pathway to joy is obedience, and I recognize that. But I do this because it's also good for me. It's good for me. That should be my secondary motive, obviously, to obedience itself. But the benefits are amazing when I try to be a generous person, generous with my thanks, generous with all of these other areas. But you know what? Living this way is also good for the people around me. I'm way easier to live with when I'm joyful always, when I'm praying continually, and when I'm giving thanks. How about you? Do you like hanging around people like that more than you do the opposite of that? Anybody know anybody the opposite of that? No, nobody indicate, you know, and no pointing fingers or tapping anybody or saying anything to anybody or nudging anybody, you know, all that kind of stuff. People around you be blessed if you're a generous person. Another scripture in Colossians 3:17, kind of a summary, says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through Him. Whatever you do. That covers just about everything you say, everything you do every moment. That should be your daily objective, shouldn't it? So at the start of each day, I think it's good to confirm your overall purpose. God, let Jesus be seen in me in absolutely every detail of today. How many are groggy when you wake up in the morning? A little bit groggy? Yeah. How many need that first cup of Java to get you going, to get you motivated? How many need to get into that shower before you're actually, you know, you actually feel real and alive? How many, kind of go through the motions? You're not really a people person at that time. Anybody relate to me on that? I'm kind of like that in a way. Usually when I, first thing I do is generally getting into the shower, whatever I do, but to get that refreshing. And I usually the first thing I try to get out of my mouth is, thank you, Lord, you're so good. Now, that's not much, but it's a start, right? So I just encourage you to do that. Don't wait until you're on your way into work before you actually become a human. Be that kind of a person that people like to be around. Whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, may every word that I speak and everything I do be a blessing to those around me. I thank you for everything I am and everything I have. This, folks, is generous living, and it stands out from the crowd. It's the voice that reminds the group of how blessed we already are. So be a thankful person. And each and every day will be productive in some way. You'll perform your tasks better if you're a thankful person. You just operate in a better way. Oh, yeah, there are things that will absolutely annoy you at times and things that you got to deal with that are not fun. You don't have to pretend that they don't exist. Of course they exist. But wow, if you have an attitude of thanksgiving through the whole deal, it makes all the difference in the world. You'll perform your tasks better and you'll influence the people that you connect with. And you'll also see opportunities opened up for you to tell others about why you're so thankful. I believe that when you're generous with your thanks to God and others, you'll become more generous as well with your grace, more generous with your time, more generous with your money, more generous with your worship. I really believe that when you're a thankful person. That's why I started with thanks today. I think it's a good start. Next Sunday, I'm going to be talking about being generous with your grace. The Bible very clearly says that with the measure that you use to extend grace to others, grace will be extended back to you.